World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, how do you know when you're hitting the bullseye? Huh? How do you know when you're hitting the bullseye? And I want to say, just as I'm coming to come out hot this morning, by the way, as I come out hot here this morning, I get emails. I hear from people, and it's good. I'm not complaining. And something that I said or something we talked about, and they took it personally, and they thought I was talking about them. Friends, do you understand that sometimes when you it's not necessarily just here, Coach Dave. When somebody says something to you and it's like sandpaper against you, did you ever stop and think for a minute? The reason that hurts is because maybe there's some bumps that need to be scratched off of you. Why does that make you mad? When the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts you. Now, understand this. The Bible. Satan brings condemnation. Spencer, let's see if we can pull that up real quick. Go to Webster's. The difference between condemnation and conviction. So let's say we're in a court of law, all right? And the judge brings down the guilty thing, okay? You are at that point convicted, found guilty, but you're not condemned. Condemned is the judicial act of declaring one guilty and dooming him to punishment. So conviction is, ooh, he's talking about me. That's conviction. Condemnation is, that a-hole's talking about me. You get what I'm talking about? The difference between conviction and condemnation. And listen, folks. If you hear something here at Coach Dave Live and it makes you angry, I would say it's probably conviction, not condemnation. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm walking out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I ain't got it all figured out. I can promise you that. But I've been around. If my wife says to me, I've been going through some physical struggles. And if my wife would say to me, well, maybe you ought to do this. Well, I can receive that as conviction. Yeah, she's right. Maybe I should do that. She badgered me and badgered me and badgered me to go see the chiropractor. She kept convicting me and convicting me and convicting me and convicting me. And I wouldn't do it because I was taking it as condemnation. I'm saying, no, I'm going to get over this. I'll get over it. You guys know what I'm talking about? And I'm telling you at this show here, at this, whatever this thing is that we're doing here, we are bringing conviction. And condemnation is from the devil. The Bible says there is now, therefore, no condemnation. Spencer, see if you can find that. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Right?
Amen.
If you are feeling condemnation because truth has come to you, folks, you're taking it the wrong way. See, the Lord brings conviction so you can clean up your act. If we go back, Spencer's doing a great job. If go back and to the point where you're convicted, it gives you an opportunity to clean up your act. But if you're receiving it as condemnation, you're going to get angry and you're going to turn away and you're going to run. There is thou therefore. Does anyone know where that Romans 8? There is therefore now no conviction. Betty, does that say conviction? No. Spencer, stop real quickly. Let's go back again. What's condemnation? Go back to Webster. I'm sorry, I got him jumping all around here. Conviction, we just talked about the act of condemning or the Judicial act, that's condemnation, okay? It's spinning, okay? Conviction is, you're guilty. You're guilty. He's talking about you. Now, when he says you're talking about you, you can get mad or you can reevaluate. But see, the act of condemning is dooming one to punishment. Truth should never bring condemnation. Truth should always bring conviction. Boom. Meaning what? Gee, Lord, he's talking about me. That's conviction. Not, that SOB's talking about me. That's condemnation. Those are not the same. So, folks, the Lord loves all of us enough to bring conviction. It's the devil that brings the condemnation. Say, yeah, see, you call yourself a Christian. You're going around doing that. See, huh? And Coach pointed it out. He's talking to you today, you know. That's condemnation. And unfortunately, many Christians don't understand the difference in the two. If you have screwed up or I've screwed up or we've all screwed up, there is now, therefore, no condemnation in Christ. We go to God, man, Lord, I missed that one. Thanks for letting me see that. Woo, the truth sets me free. And I can't tell you the number of people that leave or whatever because they're pissed off. Sorry if I use that word. They heard the truth as condemnation, not conviction. Somebody say, I'm following you, Coach.
Boom.
I know what you mean. So one of the things that you have to do is if somebody brings something to you that makes you feel uncomfortable, the first thing you have to do is ask yourself, why? Why did that bother me? I've had people email when I would be talking in general like this who thought I was talking specifically to them. What? We have thousands of people watching. How would I be talking specifically to you? Other than the Holy Spirit's tapping you on the shoulder. Hey, hey, hey. Talking about you. Clean it up. Not, hey, he's talking about you. And isn't that something? All the people on there, he's picking you out. You know he's talking about you. That's condemnation. That's what the devil brings. So when something comes into your life that causes you an uncomfortable feeling. Ask yourself, why? Why does that bother me? And my wife says to me, honey, you better quit sitting in that chair and eating pistachios. I can get mad. Say, oh yeah? Well, maybe if you cook better food, I wouldn't have to do it. I could do that. Or I could hear her saying, you might be getting unhealthy doing that, sweetie. You get it? So the Holy Spirit always brings conviction, never condemnation. So if you are angry because someone points out a truth to you, then you better check yourself because you're receiving it as condemnation, and that's from the enemy. How do I know that?
Read John 16:8, Coach.
What's that?
John 16:8.
John 16:8, Spence. John 16:8. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Lord brings conviction to clean you up, clean me up, clean the world up. He doesn't come with a hammer. He comes with a feather. Mm-hmm. And he tickles you under the nose to where you have to sneeze and deal with it. That's the difference in the two. So it's never, ever. I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, I never want to come in here and make somebody feel bad. But if the Holy Spirit makes you feel bad, why are you mad at me? I'm sitting here in my multi-million dollar studio and I'm looking into a camera. I got a computer here and I got a computer there and I'm talking to the camera. I'm not talking to you. Why do you take it personally? Because the Holy Spirit's nudging me. And we have not learned to be able to discern against those two things. If the conviction comes, then it means I got to clean something up. Something wrong here. I got to clean it up. If the condemnation comes, you just want to strike out. You don't want to change. You want to fight back. So I don't know why the Holy Spirit dropped that on me today. I'm not here to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not. I'm here to try to help us all let the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth. Man, I got some great stuff today. Thanks for giving me, let me do that. I got some great stuff going on today. Here's the American church. I saw this today. Play number one for me. This is what's going on. We're at war, and this is the kind of stuff we get. Go ahead.
We are guest, first time guest, put our campus to the test. Scan the QR code and check in, and we'll spam you all the rest. Flashing lights, choking fog, we do all of this for God. Try our coffee, it is lukewarm, don't believe me, ask our intern. First we sing, then we sit, then two people yap a bit. Every Sunday experience is a hit. Go on, open your wallet and give us 10%. Be our guest, first time guest. Lights go dim, screen comes down, feel the good vibes all around. There's our pastor on the big screen from the main campus across town. Just relax and endure his misusing of scripture. I'm on staff, I'm not complaining. Our pastor is entertaining. Are we non-denomo? You bet. But we used to be Baptist. Now we're the fastest growing church in the U.S. Come on, become a member. We'll do life together. Be our guest. If you're stressed, volunteer and serve, I suggest. Be our guest. Be our guest. First time guest. Be.
Boom! Is that ever it? Huh? Is that ever it?
My goodness. That's good.
And that is really, really good. I got some stuff I really, really want to dig into. I got to show you something. Because, look, we are... I got to say this real quickly, not real quickly. We are in, folks, we are in, what's the word I'm looking for? We're in process down in the hurricane area. Some changes that are going on down there. Grindstone is pulling out in a couple of weeks. A lot of reasons why. I got a good video, could show you, not going to take that. So we're not struggling. It's not the right word. We're looking for other ministries to plug in with, but we're planning to, as it stands right now, to hit Grindstone on that, what is it, the 26th, 28th, go down for a few days. Anybody can go. We'd love for you to be able to go with us. It's the most unbelievably devastating thing that you'll ever seen in your life. And so, again, as I've said, we don't want to turn this into a seven-day-a-week raise funds. Let's go down to – we don't want to turn it into that. But we want to give you the opportunity to go. And if some people I know are doing individual – but my buddy Norm's doing an individual coat collection. You want to do that kind of stuff. And I said, we'll help all of that get down. So all of you out there, give you an opportunity to get involved, have a little ministry of your own, and we'll figure out a way to get the clothes and the socks and the underwear and all that stuff. We'll have a way to get all that down there. So I don't want to spend all the time talking about that. But I came across something today. Anybody have any questions? Because Gary Pierce is working really hard, and we have Clay is already embedded on the ground with the folks down there. So we're actively working, actively sending money, doing all that stuff. We appreciate it. But as I said, this is going to be long term. This isn't going to be over in 2 weeks. So we're trying to do the best we can to try to keep this thing moving in the right direction. But I don't want to talk about that every day here on the show. Go ahead, Betty. You got your hand up.
Yeah, just real quick. Did you ever figure out that website? And secondly, I talked to Clay last night, and he said that they're short on cooks. So if it's okay with Gary, I might even go down because I'll have some stuff. So it's up to Gary.
Just let Gary know. You don't have to get our approval to do it. But what the problem, folks, with going down is you have to have a place to place to sleep. That's our problem. And so, yeah, Clay spent all day yesterday in the kitchen, if you can believe that. Clay's got all kinds of skill sets. He cooked all day for all the volunteers that are down there. I said, Clay, you shouldn't be cooking. He said, Coach, you need anybody else to do it. So that's what he did yesterday. And so lift up Clay, and it's the truth that's coming out. I'm going to talk about some of that today. Truth is coming out about what's going on down there. Let me show you this. Okay. Pull up number two for missing people. This really kind of brought it home to me this morning. This is a website on Facebook missing people in East Tennessee. See, pull them down a little bit and see, go to see all. Or wait a minute, can you do it? Just keep on scrolling down. I looked at that on my, just scroll on down. Go to see all. Click over here. It says see all. These are folks, these are people who are missing. Now, where the heck did I see that? Over here, there, right there. See all. See all. And if you click on H1, it tells a little bit of story about them. These are people that are missing. Can you imagine if that was your family? Your daughter's missing? They're missing. Missing. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Kind of bring things home to you. We're talking about taking out underwear and gloves. They don't even know where these people are. And the truth of it is they are probably buried under 3 foot of muck. That's probably the truth. And they're not able to find them. Catastrophic, man. And think of the heartbreak of those people who love them and how cavalier we are about it. Goes on and on and on. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Missing people. East Tennessee, Western North Carolina, missing people. Yeah, Vinny says planned white genocide. That is true. Hey, wow, I never thought about that. Hey, Spence, there aren't very many black faces in there, are there? Wow. Vinny, you brought it up. There's one. You brought it up, Vinny, not me. You brought it up.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Huh? Something crazy. It's definitely after MAGA country, folks. Say what you want to. It's definitely after MAGA country. Okay, Spence, you can get that off of there. Oh, I got it. Can I read? I've been on here for 17 minutes. I got some great stuff. I say that every day, I know. Can I read to you today what I wrote? It was supposed to be posted in News with Hughes today.
Go for it.
Probably. I'm sorry? Go for it?
Say, go for it.
I will, Paul. Then I'm going to try to shut up. I got some more, much more. Okay, so I wrote this today. No real man would ever vote for Harris. No real man. Yeah. Let's get one thing straight before you read any further. This is an opinion commentary. It's about what I think. I don't write it to make you feel good, make you love me, or even agree with me. I write it because it's the truth. Now, you may not agree with my perspective, and I really don't care if you do. It's 3-decade-long high school football coach and public school teacher. I have a little bit of experience in working with both males and females. For the most part, women operate out of their emotions. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Many times the decisions that they make are based on feelings rather than fact. God made them that way. I married a woman, 44 years and counting. I love women. We have 2 grown daughters, 8 granddaughters. I love them to death and want what's best for them. But unlike SCOTUS Judge Kajani Brown Jackson, I'm perfectly capable of identifying a woman. So also are 99% of American males. Despite what the culture has tried to ram down your throat, there's a big difference between a man and a woman. And only a fool doesn't recognize that. Folks, yeah, listen, this is spiritual. God created them male and female, created them in the image of God. We are watching, the church is watching the image of God be polluted and destroyed. So stop right there. Please save your hate mail. This commentary is about what I think, and I will not change my mind no matter how many hate mails you send my way. I probably won't even read them. I hate those bigots who attack alpha males. I'm an alpha. I'm proud of it. Go complain to your beta boyfriend. Unless the election is rigged, Kamala Harris will not be elected. The average Budweiser drinker will in no way pull the lever for that airhead. We all grew up with them. We had them I'm talking about airheads like Kamala. We had them as assistant principals and guidance counselors in high school. It was part of the force feeding of the diversity in the public education system. Women in authority sucked the testosterone right out of young boys under their tutelage. For 5 decades, any hint of masculinity was opposed in America's woman-dominated education system. I can't tell you how many times as a little kid I had to go put my nose on a dot on the wall because I wouldn't behave. Anybody, huh? Some woman teacher all elementary school teachers, most elementary school teachers are women or men who act like women. And they're sucking the testosterone out of the little boys. Little boys leaking manhood in the public schools were targeted with Ritalin and other drugs designed to take the fight right out of them. Manhood became a sickness. For decades, our culture has been feminized to the point that the most discriminated group in America today is the white male. Trust me, the real men in America know it, and there's no way they are voting for Harris. What do you think? Why do you think that for the first time in modern history, listen to this, first time in modern history, the labor unions did not endorse her? Why? Because they're repulsed by Sissy Waltz, just another weak man carrying around his wife's purse. No alpha will vote for Harris and her flower boy. I'm just telling you the truth, baby. So what happened with the unions? The unions came up in a report. We ain't no way, baby. That's what the union members said. No way. No way. First time in history, the union did not get behind her. Said, are you mad at me yet? You see, here's the thing. Real men agree with me. I'll say it again. Real men agree with everything I'm saying. They've just been so henpecked by the culture that they realize standing up and speaking is not worth it. So they let the Pelosi's and the Clintons and the Whoopies of the world badger them into silence. Happy wife, happy life. But there is a bubble of real men and real women who stand by their man and are sick and tired of the geldings they see on TV. Only an emasculated male would ever vote for Kamala and the Twinkie. Somebody say amen. Some man out there say no chick. No chick. Finally. Finally, I ain't voting for that woman. I ain't voting for her. Trust me on this, no matter how much it hurts to tell the truth. For the past 8 years, the American ruling class has done its best to lock Donald Trump in a cage. They see him as a gorilla, an out-of-control caveman, destined on returning America back to the days when men were men. Huh? That's what MAGA means. It's no more complicated than that. They hate him because he's loud, boisterous, egotistical man. The kind that America used to produce. Somebody say amen. The kind of man that America used to produce. We used to have John Wayne. Amen. Now we got Richard Simmons.
Boom.
They hate him because he's boy. Okay. American women and their sissy husbands are voting for Harris only out of their hatred for masculinity. Now, hang on. Well, coach going around sleeping with women, that's not very masculine. Well, I get it. That's what men do. Men are hunters. Men are aggressive. Donald Trump needs Jesus. He needs Jesus to tame some of that masculinity. Oh, my goodness. It's no more complicated than that. They hate him because he's blousterous, bored, egotistical, the kind of America used to produce. American women and their sissy husbands. American women and their sissy husbands are voting for Harris only out of their hatred for masculinity. But the NASCAR crowd's seen enough. They finally found a president who thinks like them. Oh, man, this is so good. That's the hidden undercurrent in this election. Silent, browbeaten men are going to sneak into that voting booth and vote against all of the men haters that have ever been pushing them around for an entire generation. Don't forget, the male-dominated labor unions, bought and paid off for generations by the Democratic Party, refused to endorse a candidate for president. Can't you smell the blood in the water? This will be the revenge election of the stepped-all-over white American male. You see, something's got to give in America. Everyone can feel it. Perhaps they're doing their best to push it into a civil war. That's what J6 was all about. Who was it? MAGA men and their wives understood that the country had been stolen, and they marched to the Capitol to try and peacefully preserve what was rightfully theirs. They watched their buddies get locked up. They watched America's resources be given to foreigners, and they understand that this is put up or shut up time in America. And old and hackneyed as some of you may think this statement is, parts of America still live their lives according to biblical values. And no matter how much the media badgers them, and no matter how much government institutions mock them, the good boy, old boys of America still believe what the Bible teaches. But I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over a man. And a lot of them good old boys ain't no way voting for a cackling woman, I'm telling you. That's pretty cut and dry, especially for Bible believers. No real Christian man will vote to have a woman be president, and especially not Harris. It's anti-biblical. It's anti-biblical. Call me a bigot. Call me a misogynist. Call me whatever name you desire. I want a man staring down Vladimir Putin, not some cackling hen. Only sissy men will ever vote for Harris and the Twinkie boy.
Boom.
Now, most people will not say that. That's the truth. Come on in, Roger. Are you there, Weave? Did you leave me? Your hand's up. Paul Webb, go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Coach. You know, you're talking about the attack on a white male, which is true. But I don't know if you've been seeing a lot of these videos, YouTube videos, black men.
Yeah.
Have been speaking out against her. And, you know, it's because I've said it all along. I mean, she's, well, first of all, she ain't even black in the first place. That's another story.
That's right.
But the thing is about, and what they're doing is they're trying to, you know, they're going after that. So a lot of men are, black men are coming against it too. They're saying they ain't voting for her. And you have so much so that you had Obama, you know, try to scold him, and he's getting backlash from that too.
A sissy black man, Obama, a sissy black man. And Paul, the truth of the matter is, those folks, come on now, think about black culture, hip hop, rap music. He used to call, think how they degraded women, called them hoes and sluts, and now all of a sudden these black men are going to go vote for a hoe and a slut to be. Come on. Come on. So this is the culture coming back on them. Do you understand that? These guys are not voting for a woman. Am I okay there, Paul?
Yeah. Hey, Coach, you know, yeah, you're right on that. But a lot of the hip hop culture is also homosexual because it's prison culture.
It's all against the male. That's the point that I'm trying to make. The assault on men, real men, they're behind closed doors, but they're going to go in that voting booth, and they ain't pulling the lever for that woman. I'm just telling you, they ain't going to. I don't care what the polls say. Roger. Thanks, Paul.
When I was up at the that LifeWise meeting up at Westerville a couple weeks ago, I think it's a board of six or seven. I think it's seven, all female, superintendent female, and there was two other administrators, female. Dave, there was not one man sitting on the other side of the table representing the school.
Yeah,
I agree that the male's revolting against Camellia, whatever her name is. But if that doesn't filter down to the lower levels, that's where the trouble is. But literally, I don't think there was a male on the other side of the table.
Okay, so Roger, so I got a better one for you. Are you ready? I want all of you out there to raise your hand if during the kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth grades, you had a male teacher. Not a real male teacher. Betty said she had two. I didn't have one. I had all women. Now, I love women. I married one. I have grandchildren. I love women. But a woman cannot teach a boy how to be a man. It takes a man to do that. That's why every once in a while, my wife elbows me and says, go get LD. That's little Dave. Go get LD. Go do something with LD. Meaning, get him away from the girls and give him some testosterone. Right? Folks, this is a really, really serious issue. And see, they're going to call us all kinds of names. They're going to call me a misogynist. We know this. that there have been all kinds of great women in America. I'm not belittling this, but in times of war, it's a masculine thing for men to go do it. And our heroes have always been masculine men who stood up and faced down the giants. Always been that. It was David, not Davida. It was David who went and did it. And again, stop it. Not that women can't. It's that women aren't supposed to. Men are supposed to. That's why diversity, equity, and all that stuff, all of that stuff. See, well, they want to do whatever. Come on, man. Where did they guide this hurricane? Right up through white MAGA country, baby. Come on. George Howard, come on in.
It would be great. It's kind of funny that you bring this up today, but it'd be awesome to see Trump do a commercial basically on Alpha Male to compete against what Kamala did with her male commercial, which is absolutely absurd.
He ought to be doing a video of her standing before Putin. Trump standing before Putin, huh?
Yeah.
Amen. Do you think, folks, you think Putin would take Kamala seriously? I bet he'd be laughing. They'd be getting drunk, rolling around laughing. Oh, America's elected her. She's for women's rights. She's for killing babies. Of course women are going to vote for her. How stupid is that? Is there any woman out there? Let me ask you something. Any woman out there, maybe there are, that in any way, shape, or form thinks Tim Walz is sexy? Said, oh, man, there. Whoa! Give me a hunk of that guy. Anybody? Why do they service up a woman and a man that acts like a woman? Why do they do that? And why do they hate Donald Trump? Because they hate that spirit of masculinity on him. And unfortunately, we can't see it because we make it about all this other peripheral stuff that really ain't got anything to do with it. We make it about all this other stuff. They hate him because of this. And he's going to throw you in jail. And who are they scaring? They're scaring women and men who think like women. Randy.
Well, the writing on the wall, Coach, is that the transgender movement, it's going to erase feminism. So the move back to
Mouthful. Did you hear that, folks? Say that again, Randy.
I think the transgender movement, Coach, is going to erase feminism.
Wow.
So what's that telling me, Coach, is the role of the family, how it should be in balance, how that daddy should be in authority, mama should be in submission, and the role, the correct order of authority, when the children see that again, then they have a different worldview, a different outlook. So what I see coming back, I see the black men standing up and becoming dads again.
Me too. I see it, brother. I see it, coach.
So I really see the trend in America is it's coming back to God. It's coming back to the correct order of authority. And that's going to change the culture. So
amen.
To me,
amen.
I don't see us losing. That's why I always see us. I try to look at it from God's perspective, Coach, always.
Okay, so pull up number six. Because here is America, and this is the spirit that's coming back. So here's a dad whose daughter goes into the bathroom and a boy is watching her pee. Go ahead. Ain't no mommy there.
Hey, all right. I see cowards. First off, quit smiling. Why are you smiling? All I see, the one girl that went to the bathroom and went to the office to try to have something done about it, they said they couldn't do it because of Title IX, correct? Well, there is something you can do. You can create policy that goes out to the girls and says they can use the staff bathroom. One person on this board with a conversation told me that they can't turn away the girls from the staff bathroom. So why aren't you doing anything? My daughter, right here, sweetheart, tell the school, do you want a little boy to watch you pee?
No.
Why?
Because it's inappropriate.
It's inappropriate. My 8-year-old daughter knows it's inappropriate, and yet y'all sit there silent. One of you told me that your personal views don't align with the views you show to the public. You're cowards. That is not how you do it. That should show show every parent in this county that you are not fit to sit on this board. Every one of you. Tell me you didn't say that this is not your job, that it should be left up to the ethics committee. You, I've heard you say, it's not my job. When it came to the books being in these schools, it is your job to look over who's in charge of catching those books. You, all you do is smile. Rob, I don't have a problem with you. But this has got to stop, because I'm going to tell you, y'all come up here and talk about vaping and the dangers of vaping. If a little boy follows my daughter in that bathroom and touches her, you will have a new rather of dangers. This is ridiculous. You're opening up opportunity for problems to happen. You either create a new bathroom for those who are confused, or you send them to the staff bathroom. It's a very simple problem. We don't change policy for tens of thousands of people to accommodate. There is no problem what people do on their personal level. That is not my business, nor your business, nor anybody's business. That is their choice. But I tell you what, I want to prove that you're all hypocrites, because each of you ladies, I want you to invite your husbands. And let's go to the bathroom, and I want them to watch me watch you use the bathroom, and let's see if they get mad. Let's prove to the public the hypocrites are still on this board. Because I bet you, you'll get mad when I watch your wife. Your husband will get mad when I watch you. Your husband would feel the same as I would about my wife. Now stand up and do something. You're so scared of losing federal funding, it's ridiculous. Every single one of you is cowards. And we keep coming up here year after year with the same clique. There's one woman on this board that stands up for the people and the kids. That's a role model. Y'all should listen and pay attention is why she gets the votes. We won't put a single Laura Lindsay sign out and she'll get the votes. Kenny Workman is the exact example of a man whose feelings are hurt because the right questions were asked. There, I called him out.
Look at those sissy men. Look at those sissy men. They don't know what to do, right? They don't know what to do. And you know what else is going on? Every man sitting in that room wishes he had that courage.
Boom.
Amen.
Boom.
Boom.
But boom is right. Jeff Nares, you were up there, brother. Come on back in if you want. Everybody's dropping off. It's good. I'm all over it here today. Okay. I'm all over it here today. I couldn't care less whether you hate me or don't. You said, boy, he sure is opinionated. Damn right I am. You're damn right I am. Why aren't you? What made you swallow your tongue in the midst of the war? Huh? Come on. Who? I ran some off. Who wants to come in? Roger's hand's still up. I know he didn't want to come in there. Okay, hang on. I got another one. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, you're coaching courage. I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Coaching courage, baby. I'm coaching courage. That's what I'm doing. Bring up number seven. Bring up number seven. Huh? I don't know this guy. Put it at 1.5 speed. And somebody tell me, has he been watching Coach Dave or have I been watching him? This guy's a pastor. Go ahead.
Okay. Our Father in heaven. Certainly there's much to do with this. The battle is raging hotter and hotter, and things we're not going to get better unless the Church of Jesus Christ, the true church, steps up to the plate and does what is necessary and commanded of them to do. So we pray that you would give us some concrete solutions. We know that they're hidden for us in the scripture, sometimes just blatantly obvious. And so let us dig deeply into the word of God that we might understand what it is our duty to do. And let us do it so that that would be blessed and the King will be glorified in advance. We ask in Christ's name for this time together with Brendan and myself, and that we might help others to understand the pressing need for the day to reestablish Christendom in Western civilization. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Hallelujah. So thank you for meeting with me, for being willing to let me ask you some questions. My husband and I were really blessed to see you and your wife and what you shared at the Christian Education Initiative just a few weeks ago. And so you started with that epic quote from Dr. Gary North. Do you have that handy that you could read it?
The one that I think you're mentioning is you can't beat something with nothing. Basically, that's what he says. I don't have the quote in front of me, but that's basically the premise. The premise is you cannot understand theology without understanding its application. We have to start thinking of actionable words. How do you bring theology to life? How do you bring theology to the masses, to the nations? What is interesting about the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28?
Hang on a minute. Flip Benham taught me years ago that we make our theology biography in the street. To take our theology and make it biology in the street. To think what we have in our head and make it live on the street. Make our theology biology. Go ahead.
Connected to Deuteronomy and chapter 6. But the Great Commission of 28 of Matthew actually says, I like to say, what doesn't it say? Well, it doesn't say go into all the world and make disciples of people. It says make disciples of nations. Now, of course, you begin with people, but the overall plan is to disciple nations so that the societal structure, the juridical structure, the governmental structure, the cultural structure, the economic structure, the scientific and the technological structure, all structure of a business comes under the banner and the oversight of the commandments of God. Mm-hmm. And I think what the church has failed to understand, they have taken a page out of the playbook of Thomas Aquinas, where the secular world is separate from the theological world. So the theological world is only applicable to your pietism, your ethical obedience, and then the philosophical world belongs to everything else, and the scripture has nothing to say about it. Well, that is so far from the truth that the reason why we're in the mess that we're in is because of the of Aquinas's that Thomistic understanding that the Roman Catholic Church has adopted. Now the Protestant Church has adopted it also, right. And this is where we find ourselves in the 21st century in 2024.
Now, you know,
and that is fundamentally the problem. I'm sorry.
It is. And isn't it funny because you hear separation of church and state and you hear about the Jefferson, the letter between Thomas Jefferson and the Baptist, but it's also in the Marxist philosophy. It's in their constitution to have separation between the church and the school. And yet so many people believe that that's in our constitution. And it really is preventing us from building the kingdom of God. So can you explain more about that and how we get past it?
Well, the way to get past it is to use the pulpit.
Okay.
The problem with parents, and I say quote unquote Christian parents or professing Christian parents, the problem with the professing Christian parents is they're not being educated as to the severity of government school indoctrination.
Yes.
So the toleration of statist schools by the pulpits really is the problem. Because if the ministers tomorrow said, look, it is anti-Christian to send your child to an anti-Christian establishment to be educated in the things of wickedness, evil, Marxism, and anti-Christian philosophy. So if they were to do that and then impress upon that to the congregation and then give it teeth, and the teeth that the minister should give is if you violate the commandment of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and you send your child to the government schools, you will not maintain your membership in this church. You will not receive the Lord's Supper. You will come under ecclesiastical discipline. And today that doesn't mean anything, but still that's what we should do. And
wow,
every church that really would
freeze it. You understand what he just said? The pastor stands up in the pulpit and says, listen, if you're sending your kids to public school, you're not welcome here. You're in sin and you're in violation and you are not welcome here. See, we would never do that. Why? Because we want to build bigger churches. We want to build bigger churches, right? And he's just laying it out there. There it goes again, huh? Conviction, condemnation, conviction, condemnation. If you are putting your child in government schools where they're being trained in the ways of the devil, you're in sin. You're in sin. Go ahead, play a little more.
If every church were to sign on to this, that individual would not have a church to go to. And they would then, it would be a situation where they would be barred from the word of God, barred from the commandments of God, and they would be in fear of hell damnation. Now, of course, because of the perversion of theology, the perversion of the commandment in the gospel, that Jesus just loves you no matter what you do, no matter where your children go, no matter how you conduct your life, Jesus will love you no matter what. There is no commandment. There is no law. We're not under law, they say, anymore, because we're under grace, as if grace is promiscuous and will tolerate
grace is promiscuous.
But because we have that theology now is being prevalent in the evangelical churches, it doesn't matter what you do. Mm-hmm. So the real problem is the pulpit. The real problem is the minister. And if the pulpits would regain their fidelity, if they would regain their strength, their understanding of we are fighting a real battle with real consequences, with real damages, if they would regain that understanding, well, maybe things will turn around.
Yeah. And maybe. Okay, freeze it. Put it in the chat. Put it in the chat. I felt good this morning. I said, golly, I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one saying that. The problem is the church. The problem is the pulpit. The problem is the pastors. The problem is the coach of the church. The coach of the church don't know what offense to run. That's what it is, just playing defense. Okay, hang on. Spencer, a standalone, put it in the chat. Standalone I guess I needed patted on the back or needed some encouragement this morning. Mario Murillo. Do you guys trust Mario Murillo? Do you like Mario Murillo? Got a big following? He said today, modern pastor, why do you let deceived Christians silence you? Wow. You know what jumped out at me? That is true. Deceived Christians take the truth right out of the mouth of the pastor. Because the pastor doesn't want to speak against it because the deceived Christians think their school's a good school. So he's not going to speak against it because people are going to get convicted and feel condemned, and they ain't coming back. Modern pastor, why do you deceive? Why do you let deceived Christians silence you? Pastor, you need to tell your people from the pulpit to vote for Trump. If that horrifies you, I'll bet it's because of deceived Christians. Elections used to be a choice between liberals and conservatives. This election is a choice between good and evil. And who is evil? Democrats embody everything that is anti-God, anti-Christian, and anti-family. Democrats have sold themselves to do evil. That is clear. How clear? So clear that I can categorically say that any Christian who votes at Kamala Harris is deceived. Many, in fact, would call them a fake Christian. This is Morello. This ain't Coach Dave. To take a stand against the evil does not make you political. We'll say it again, Betty. To take a stand against evil does not make you political. Not anymore.
Amen.
It's a natural extension of your calling. Democrats fight against everything we stand for. We didn't pick this fight. They did. They brought to the fight to us. We did not wander into their yard. They jumped the fence into our yard. For pastors to be silent now is beyond shocking. The very people who should be leading the charge against evil are missing in action. Out of 500,000 Protestant ministers in America, only a tiny percentage are even saying anything in church. Wow. Paul declared the first duty of a shepherd in Acts 20:28. Therefore, take heed to yourself, to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. What if the shepherd ignores that threat? Preaching should take the sheep to safety. How can it do that if the shepherd ignores the threat? Then Paul ordered the elders to be on the lookout for two villains, savage wolves and perverse Christians. Wow, this is so good, Mario. Scroll on down. Savage wolves, for know this, that among them are savage wolves. There's no question who the wolves are today. Democrats are responsible for the invasion of murder and rapists into our nation. They don't just want to save abortion. They want to celebrate it. It's their religion, child sacrifice for the national sacrament. They want to erase Christianity and Israel. Then Paul warned us about the greater threat, the one inside the church, perverse Christians. Acts also from among you, young yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away discipline after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. How can perverse Christians be worse than wolves? Because they silence pastors. Ministers stand before the largest voting bloc in America. And if they were speaking about Harris from a biblical perspective, this election would not even be close. It is the most deafening silence in American history. We face the most obvious choice between good and evil. The nation stands on the brink of disaster. Pastors are the most effective weapon against that disaster. God will replace anyone you lose. Questions flood your heart. Will I lose members? Yes, you will. But because you are speaking truth, God will more than replace anyone you lose. Will it ruin my reputation? Probably at first. They may lock you up like they did Bill Dunphy. After the initial wave of criticism, you'll emerge with a reputation for telling the truth. How can I tell my congregation? Well, search social media. You'll hear the powerful words that pastors are using right now to effectively inform and lead their congregation in this matter. You'll be stunned by your people's awareness of these things. Having watched Coach Dave live, will I be violating the Johnson Amendment by speaking out? Will I lose my nonprofit status? Johnson Amendment's dead. Bishop John Drew Sheard, who leads the Church of God in Christ, endorsed Kamala Harris, and the IRS continues to ignore it. How would the government dare to come after you if they did not come after them? Don't let deceived Christians destroy America. Believers saying perverse things began for us when the church adopted discipleship by osmosis. Instead of instilling biblical literacy, we thought we could just let God speak to their heart. This created a wide on-ramp for membership growth. It also created members who cannot tell right from wrong. Worst of all, they are ignorant of what their duty to the Lord is as a Christian. Paul took the opposite approach to discipleship. He warned Timothy to hold the line when sound doctrine became more than the audience could bear. Boy, this is good. We do have fables. Timothy said, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They'll heap up teachers who are going to scratch their ears for them. It's a fable to think God wants his own children to vote for Harris. It's a fable to think God condones a mother killing her own baby, even after they're born. In this, no one can be neutral. But the biggest fable to believe that we can be silent and there will be no consequence. God is watching. Imagine what he will think of us, especially when it was within our power. Just stop Kamala! Stop Kamala! Stop Obama! Pastor, tell your people to stop Obama.
Boom.
Alan Zeifer. Come on in, Alan.
Good morning, Coach. You know, Jesus had a lot of words for these folks that call themselves Christians. Vote for Democrats. He called them chaff. Think about what chaff is. That's as close as you can get to the fruit of the wheat. They're behind pulpits. They're singing in the choirs, leading the worship. Them folk. He got the fools. He called them fools. Foolish.
Blind leading the blind, you said, Alan. The blind leading the blind.
Come on. He called them Nicolaitans. That's one of the strongest words in there. Jesus said, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a pastor and you're voting for Kamala, you're a Nicolaitan. You're not a Christian. You're a Nicolaitan.
Well, not only that, Alan, if he's a pastor and not publicly telling his people who he's voting for.
Amen. Amen. Me and Dale Socia covered that stuff the other day. We did that little video.
Yes, you sure did.
Right before the hurricane. And it's the truth. Everything Dale said was the truth. And the people better wake up because judgment's coming. I believe all these things we're seeing, whether it's man-made weather, the wicked hearts of men, or whether it's Satan, Jesus Christ had to put his seal of approval on the nasty weather for it to happen, period. That's all biblical. You can see it in Job. You can see it everywhere. Jesus had to allow the weather to happen for it to happen. It's judgment.
Alan, churches won't even stand up for a little girl who doesn't want a boy watching her pee. Arbisco, come on in. Got to unmute. Maybe we lose you there. Sorry if we did. Dave.
Oh, so there you go.
There you go.
Coach, you are such a breath of fresh air and speaking the truth. And I just love it so much.
Can I tell you something? It's the same thing I wrote about these men who are going to come out and vote. Do you have any idea how many people you go to church with who would love this gathering in the morning? You have any idea? They're sitting in the pew, ready to scream about what's going on around them, and ain't nobody saying anything. And all we do here is validate the way you feel. That's all we do. Dave or Sherry, come on in.
Good morning, Coach. Again, so many thoughts are provoked. And Mr. Producer, could you bring up Romans 8:13, please? What I seen here, Coach, when I was listening to that one guy talk about, he started the show with about this chapter starts, there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
But what's missing in the church is in verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. And that's what that guy was telling the people. Hey, if you want to live after flesh, go ahead and live after the flesh. But we don't want any part of that. So here's what was missing in my life and Sherry's life. We got introduced to the gospel, and Sherry actually was the one who finally made me understand what salvation was. But what neither one of us understood is in this one, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body,
amen,
ye shall live. And what the church doesn't teach, and what this guy was trying to teach you, we need to mortify, be ashamed, be fearful. Do not do this. That's why the Bible says, the Lord says, don't do these things.
Amen.
We don't do that. We don't mortify anything. It's like that one, the first guy you played, join, you know, be our guest. You think you're going to mortify any sins in that church?
Wow.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So that's what's missing. We don't fear. It's the fear of the Lord that's missing in the church. And the problem of it is, and that's why the Bible says, if my people, and this is what Langford pointed out the other day, God doesn't humble anybody. He doesn't humble anybody. You have to humble yourself. It says, if my people shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. And so this is what, so the, some of the things that the condemnation that the enemy is trying to still place on my life is because of some of the things I didn't mortify.
That's right, brother. And it's conviction, Dave. It's conviction. But see, the devil wants you to feel condemned. No, no. He's trying to clean you up. He's pointing it out to you. He loves you. He pokes you. Say, see that? See that? See that? Well, you can get mad if you want to, or you can do something about it.
Amen.
And I'm going to steal Tim's thunder because I see he's got his hand up. But Tim's right. If we would understand Romans before we understand the book of John, understand it. Oh. If we don't understand Romans, we would be so much different people in Christ. So, amen. Thanks, Coach.
Well, Tim, there's an introduction for you. Come on in. You got about 3 minutes.
I was just going to say that, Dave guy, you are welcome to my house to eat my steak anytime you want to come, buddy. Amen. Let me tell you, I can't find enough people who even open the book of Romans and be a man. Oh, dude, you're my hero.
What do you, hey Tim, how did it happen, you think? How did it happen? How did Christianity, that's a long question. How did Christianity become so soft? You might know? Judah, come on in.
I can tell you why, Coach. It's the Schofield Reference Bible.
Yeah, that's
there you go, Vinny. That's right on right there.
So let me tell you something, Coach. I was a four square pastor, and four square was created by a woman.
There seriously. You go.
So Foursquare was created by a woman, and I was Foursquare for 30 years, so I got booted for confronting sissy pastors.
For being a man, yeah.
For being a man. So I'm going to tell you something. A whole denomination is weak. That's all I got to tell you.
They are, man. Boy. What, open our eyes, Lord. Judd. Judd disappeared. He broke off. Randy.
No, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead. Didn't hear you. Go.
I said, the reason to answer your question, you said, why? And the answer is very clear. It's all by design. So the Geneva Bible, obviously prior to, then the Schofield Bible. The Masons took the Schofield Bible and then sissified all the infiltration of all pastors.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
And then their plan from that is obviously the total destruction. They want to separate the families. They want to separate manhood from the household. They want to separate fatherhood.
Hey, Spencer, while he's talking, Spencer, find a picture again of all those Jesuses for us, those pictures they show us of Jesus. Tell me they've not effeminized the church. Tell me they haven't turned Jesus Christ into a sissy. Look at this guy over here on the right.
Hey, Coach, that video you played earlier on, if you could put that in the chat, that is absolutely incredible because – Be my guest. That's exactly what they're doing because they are forming the New World Order Church. That is their new version. And people, they don't see it. But that New World Order version is the Crystal Cathedral model.
Amen.
That was Robert Schuller's model. And then
Jeb, real quick, those of you watching on Friday on other places, go to CoachDaveLive.com. All the links are there. Everything we use, those links are all there. So you can get them and you can use them and you can share them. Because listen, those of us who are awake, we have got to blow the trumpet. No matter who we offend, we have got to awaken the body of Christ. See you tomorrow.